I've got a couple things to share with you before I preach this morning, and one is how appreciative I am for the people who went to the Hoosier One rally and training. Now, I am preaching today just because you got the T-shirt and you've been there and done that don't mean you're going to do it. But I'm going to help you today, okay, how to help them get to Jesus, okay? I'm preaching today how to get to Jesus. But I just want to say thank you so much. It was an outstanding group, 18 altogether who went to the rally, and the training was just awesome. And so thank you so much for taking the time and the effort. And those who couldn't go because of some people are out of town, we still got folks out of town. Everybody's trying to get those vacations in before school starts back. But I just want to thank you so much for being a part of that effort, and what a blessing it was. And so we're going to deal with that in depth today, how to get to Jesus. Also, I want to thank the Lord for all that I see happening in our church. Let me tell you something that's happening that's really cool. I think Jonathan and Jillian had to leave because of... No, you're still here. Okay. All right. We got an awesome group of young people. We do. We got some all. We had them over Friday. And, you know, when they left, this is what Sherry said. She said, you know, it's so neat and refreshing just to be around a group of people. No complaining, no griping, no pouting. Everybody just having a great time in the Lord. And, you know, even the adults behaved themselves. I mean, even the adults, they did pretty good. But anyway, it's just fun hanging out with some wonderful Christian kids who are very respectful and very kind one to another. And I thank God for what I see happening with our youth. I'll tell you, I read a little devotion this morning, how important it is that we have an attitude of gratitude. And so in all things, we just need to give thanks to God for what He's doing in our life, because God is up to something. You may not see. I'm fixing to talk about a holding pattern. Some of you might be in a holding pattern, but God's got a plan for you today. And so I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke is probably one of the most intellectuals in that he gives us an account of the gospel that is so unique to the miracle working power of who God is, especially this chapter. Chapter 8 of Luke is slam full of miracles and all that Jesus did, talking about the working power of God. So let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. We'll begin reading with verse 43, Luke 8, 43. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, talking about Jesus, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue," that is power, "is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him for all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Here's my favorite verse, verse 48, Jesus. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Father, we thank you for the faith that's even here today. Faith that says we believe God. And just like this woman, it was her faith that made her whole. She received a healing physically and spiritually because Jesus called her daughter. And Father, I thank you that we can have that relationship with you. We're not here today because of some religion. We're here today because of a relationship. And we love you, Lord Jesus. And we pray now, God, that we will experience you in all your glory. May we not hold anything back. May we just welcome the Holy Spirit to walk up and down every aisle through every pew. And I pray for your anointing, that you would anoint me afresh and anew and speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority. Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. talking about marriage and so forth, I read this story about this 80-year-old woman who recently married her fourth husband. This was her fourth time around. And a reporter questioned the occasion of her newly acquired husband. Or the occupation, said, why would you marry a funeral director? And she said, well, you know, I just did. It was the reporter was curious, said, well, what did the other husbands do? And the woman paused for a while and stated that her first husband was a banker. I said, okay. And the second husband, he was a ringmaster in a circus. Okay. And the third husband was a pastor. He was a preacher. Okay. And the fourth one was that she was marrying, is a funeral home director. And the reporter said, you know, none of those people really have anything in common. I'm puzzled why you would marry such different people. And this was her answer. She stated that she married, number one, for the money, the banker, two, for the show, the circuit master, three, to get ready, that was the preacher, and four, to go, that was the funeral home director. So one for the money, two for the show, three, to get ready, and four to go. So you got to be ready, amen? And time is running out. We talked about that Wednesday night. The time is short. But we got to get to Jesus. And you know, there may be someone here today who needs to get to Jesus, amen? We all need to get to Jesus in some form or another. And so here we have an account. It's interesting in the immediate context that a certain woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, she stops Jesus from going to a ruler of the synagogue's house. His name was Jairus. Jairus, the Bible tells us in, I believe it's verse 40. Let's see, is that right? Verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down, that was important, he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years. Now here, this is interesting, here's a woman who's been battling a sickness for 12 years. He has a daughter, 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Well, what happened was this. Because of this delay of this woman, the ruler of the synagogue's daughter died. And so there are some questions you got to ask here. What should our perspective and our posture be when we're doing all the right things, and yet things are not working out? What should your perspective be in light of divine procrastination? What do you do when you do your best to walk with Jesus and he shows up too late? You see, what happened when this woman touched the hem of the garment, Jesus said to Jairus, I want you to see what's going to happen when I touch your daughter. You see, what happened was that Jesus raised her from the dead. And I'm here to tell you, our God has no limits, okay? So the question is, how do you deal with difficulties? God will oftentimes put you in what I call a holding pattern. You may ask, well, Pastor, just what is a holding pattern? Well, in the aviation industry, a holding pattern is an oval course flown by an aircraft awaiting further instructions on clearance, especially to land. And sometimes it's dangerous to land if you land too soon. Now, you know you got to land, but if you land too early or if you land too soon, you could be in great trouble. It reminds me, years ago, this is a true story, I was flying from we had been to Las Vegas convention. We flew to Los Angeles, Angeles, or how do you call it, L.A., California. And then we flew from California to Charlotte, North Carolina. When we get to Charlotte, I don't know what the problem was, but I'll tell you, I've never been so scared in my life. We were put in one of these holding patterns. And I am not kidding. I know I counted 16, 18 times we flew around Charlotte. I was counting until I just thought, I better start praying. I mean, we were going around and around and around and around. I believe I've got everything around Charlotte memorized. I mean, I could see everything. We were so close. But we were not landing. And so I had some thoughts. My first thought was that there must be some major problem at the airport. There's something going on down there that I don't know anything about. My second thought was, how much fuel did we have in our plane? I mean, that was a good thought I was thinking. Well, I wonder, how long can this plane continue to circle around the Charlotte Douglas Airport? And then my third thought was, what will happen if we can't land in Charlotte? Do we have enough fuel to get somewhere else? So while all these thoughts were going on, I had to remember that I was not the pilot. Now, I'm going somewhere. Y'all hold on. I chase rabbits, but they're big ones. I had to remember I was not the pilot. I was not in the air traffic control tower. And I had no authority in my present circumstances. Now, I'm hoping you will relate this, because there's a lot of things that you're going through, that I'm going through, that we have no power over. And you see, Jesus is like this guy in the air traffic control tower. He sees the bigger picture. He sees where all the planes are. He sees what's happening. He knows that there are different patterns. There are different ways that those planes are coming in. I've driven down 485 many times, just amazed and how they're all lined up. I've driven there many times by the airport, and you could see plane after plane after plane. They're just stacked, coming in, landing. It's a pretty big and busy airport. But I want you to see God is the one in the air traffic control tower. He sees the entire picture. He sees all the planes coming in to land. And if they all land at the same time, there would be a big multiple plane crash there at the Charlotte Douglas Airport. Jesus is like the pilot. He knows the way of the Father in the air traffic control tower and what the Father is telling him to do. And Jesus is in control of what he's doing because he's listening to the Father. And that was true while he was on the earth. Here's what he said. I don't do anything except what I see my Father doing. And I don't speak anything except what my Father tells me to say. That's powerful. And while all this is going on, we're in this holding pattern. And while we may be in a divine holding pattern, that's when we must trust God, even though we can't trace God. And we've got to understand this, that God may have you, he may have me, in a holding pattern. But that holding pattern is not a bad place to be, because you see, the guy in the air traffic control tower knows what he's doing. The guy flying the plane, the pilot, he knows what he's doing. Let me tell you something, folks. God knows what he's doing. He had the first word in this thing, and he'll have the last word. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus is still on the throne. He's at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing right now? But making intercession for us. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't really understand God. Well, I don't either. But his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our ways. He wants us to trust him, even though we can't trace him. It's called faith, right? God wants you to step out on faith, believing him that he knows what he's doing. The best thing to do is to remember that you and I are the passengers. We are the children of the... Listen, are you with me? We are the children of the king. We're not the ones in control. He's king. We are his sons and his daughters, right? And we just need to learn to rejoice and relax, because we know who's in the air traffic control tower. We know who the pilot is, right? And he don't need any co-pilot. Remember the license plate that said, God is my co-pilot? You better hope not. He better be the pilot, amen? And he don't need any co-pilot. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. Now, here's what I want to deal with today. Four simple truths that will help you help others get to Jesus. And maybe there's someone here today, and all four I know are from God, because I didn't get them nowhere else. I'm telling you, these are powerful things, principles in the Word of God already, that will teach us how to get others to Jesus. Number one, you pray. All right? You pray. I've already said it. Write it down. Write this down. This is worth writing down. Prayer is hard work, but without it, there is no work of God. Prayer is hard work, and without it, there is no work of God. Interesting, in verse 47, it says, and falling down, the woman, and falling down before him, and falling down before him. Jairus, it says in verse 41, he fell down at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it's something when you bow down. J.W. came over here and knelt at the altar a while ago. There's power in, y'all understand that, right? There's power when you pray because you're not tapping into your strength, you're tapping into his strength. And God is able to do far more than you and I could ever do. Oh, we're like this woman. I mean, she spent every penny she had on a doctor. Anybody been there and done that? Oh, you could spend every dime you've got on a doctor. And there's not a doctor in the house that could help her. No one, it says, could heal her. The answer was not in man. You want answers? Go to God. He has the answer. And the answer to your prayer is this. I'm going to tell you, God hears the prayers of a broken and contrite heart. There was a man in my first church. I was 19 years old. His name was Mr. Simon Stevenson. And he would come and kneel right here every Sunday. I mean, at the same place. For years, I watched Mr. Simon do that. And I asked Mr. Simon one Sunday after church. I said, Mr. Simon, why do you come and kneel at the same place every Sunday? Here's what he said to me. He said, I've got a son who's lost. And he's dying and on his way to an eternal hell. And if he don't get saved, there's not going to be no hope. I'm praying that my son would get saved in this same place. God heard his prayer, and his son got saved. Let me tell you something, folks. God hears and answers prayer. And if we could just get this one thought in our heart today, look up here. God answers prayer. Now, you say, well, he won't hear my prayer. Are you saved today? He heard that prayer. And if he heard that prayer, he won't have a problem with hearing any other prayer. He hears the prayer of a broken and contrite heart. Notice what it says in verse 45. And he's talking about, it says, and press thee. We have to learn to press through the crowds of the world in prayer. You see, sin has people pressed down into depression. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. The pressures of life are real. People need to know that they are loved and cared for. And a church that is focused on hurting people will never die. A church focused on praying for the needs of others will never die. There's life in the name of Jesus. And I believe if we all just get at our feet, at the feet of Jesus, on our knees before him, how is all this going to happen as far as helping others come to Christ? Number one, it's going to be a relationship. You need to have a relationship with someone. Now, think about Jesus for a moment. Think with me who Jesus was. Now, the religious people hated this about Jesus. They hated the fact, I'm talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all the religious people hated. But Jesus, in the Gospels, was known as a friend of sinners. Yeah. That's what he was known for. Did you know the Bible says he even ate with the sinners? Yeah, he ate with the sinners. You know why? Because Jesus came to die for the sinner. Amen. He said, I've come to see the slave that was lost. He established relationships with the tax collector. He established relationships with people who were deep in sin. He healed them. He changed their life. He made it all about a relationship and not about a religion. And folks, we've got to understand, we're not trying to get people to join our religion. We're trying to get people to join Jesus. We got to get them to Jesus. Amen. You can join every religion there is and go to hell. You can be a Southern Baptist and go to hell. I know that shocked some of y'all because some people think Baptists are the only ones going to get to heaven. I'll tell you, there is not going to be any Baptists in heaven. Not one. Only those who are redeemed that we sung about. Amen. Only the saved. I'll tell you, we got to get people to Jesus, and it all starts out with a simple relationship. Sometimes it can simply be this. How are you doing? Just speak to somebody. I moved here in November of 2013. In that same month, I found my way down to Littleton to this new hospital, Harnett Central. Is that the name of it? Central Harnett. Thank you for correcting me. All right. Got it right. So I go down there, and I visit the person. I'm walking out of the hospital. It's around Thanksgiving. And all I did was say to this man, Happy Thanksgiving. He said, are you a preacher? That's all I did. I just said, Happy Thanksgiving. I said, well, yeah. He said, well, my wife is up in a room here and she's dying. Would you go and talk to her? I said, well, if you'll come with me. He said, sure. So we would go up there together. And I led that lady to Jesus that day. All it was a happy Thanksgiving. Sometimes all people need to know is that you'll speak to them. Amen. Sometimes it can be a good morning. I said a good morning to one guy going to the hospital one day, and he said, are you a doctor? I said, well, no, but good morning. You know, good morning. How are you? And you know how? I know for some people, it's hard. Somehow for me, it is so easy to get into a gospel presentation. It's just so easy. I mean, we talk about the weather. Everybody talks about the weather. And I'll say, you know, God provided this day for us. It's so easy. I mean, everything points to God, if you ask me. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to point people to Jesus. All you got to do, and you say, well, preacher, I can talk about the weather. Well, if you can talk about the weather, you can talk about the one who is in control of the weather. And it's not the weatherman. Amen. So it's about relationships. And I've got to move quickly today. But Jesus had a relationship with lost people. Also, it's about revelation. Now, prayer is a powerful mechanism in that God will reveal things to us as we pray about people. And God's Spirit is a discerning spirit. There are those that need our hope and our healing. We need to love them enough to deal with their deception. And most people think they're saved when actually they're lost. And this is how you pray for them. I'm praying for a man. My one is difficult now. I had a one. He got saved. Now I got another one. And so my one right now, I witnessed to, and he told me, he said, oh, pastor, I pray every day the sinner's prayer. But I talked to his wife, and she said, he's lost. She said, he don't know Jesus. He just thinks he knows Jesus. There's a lot of people who are deceived. Let me tell you something real quickly. Satan, above everything, is a deceiver. He wants people to think they're saved when they're not. Well, I'm just as good as anybody. I've been baptized. I've joined the church. Did you know none of those things will save you? Not one of them. We've got to somehow pray that God will give us the breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, a revelation to be able to help people realize, number one, you got to help them realize they're lost before they can get saved. And so there's that revelation that God will give us a discerning spirit. I'm not talking about judging anyone. This man, you know what I'm going to do with this man? I'm just going to keep loving on him. Just loving on him and working with him. And, you know, he's really, in all innocency, he's ignorant of God's word. He don't know anything about God's word. But somehow he thinks if I pray every day for Jesus to save me, he'll save me. No, it's more than a prayer. It's a surrendered life. You got to be willing to turn from your sin. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But most people think they're saved when they really are not. Jesus was a friend of sinners, and you know, it was those who recognized their sin. They're the ones that got saved. And then I want to give you the word regeneration. You see, this word literally means new birth. I love this verse, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. But without prayer to break up the fallow ground, the sinful, selfish heart cannot be broken. It's vain to sow the seed, for the word cannot break up the ground without prayer. Does a farmer hope to break up a field by dropping seed upon it to prepare some fields for planting? It takes days of hard laboring, of plowing. That's prayer. But those are fields that are planted soon. And it's interesting. You can plant real quick when the ground's been broken up. So that's the next thing I want to talk about is plowing. So we're talking about how to get people to Jesus. Are y'all following me so far? What's the first way? Pray. You pray. You pray for that prayer. Listen, folks, if you pray for him every day, God, the Holy Spirit, will do his work. Amen. All you got to do is pray. But then what does it mean to plow? Now, I grew up on a farm, and I know what it's like to plow. I've actually plowed with a mule, and I've driven a mule. It's not easy. But what does it mean to plow? Verse 44, she came behind him. Peter, he said, and they that were with him said, Master, a multitude are crowding you, and they're pressing you. This woman with the issue of blood had to plow through the crowds to get to Jesus. I love Jeremiah 4:3. Break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. Now, I want to talk about how you got to plow and break through, because there are problems out there. In building relationships, you got to break up the ground. Walls of relationships sometimes are difficult. It's hard to know that there's a God who loves you if you've never been loved yourself. There's a lot of people out there like that. They don't feel loved by nobody. In fact, they feel nothing but hate. So how can they receive the God who loves them? Well, there's some plowing. And here's a great, great, great verse. Oh, man, to dealing with these strongholds. Listen to this verse, one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, breaking the hard ground, our thought pattern, difficult thoughts, thinking the worst about people instead of the best about them. Don't own it. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe one reason God has you in a holding pattern is because of your thinking pattern. And instead of thinking the best about people, you're thinking the worst about people. And some of us sometimes are so worried about what people think, we can't get nowhere. How do you break through that? Well, number one, tearing down of wounds. And we're all wounded. We're all crippled. I think of CR and how it deals with those wounds, all the hurts and the hangups and the habits. He says in verse 43, and a woman having issue of blood 12 years, neither could be healed by any. Many people are wounded today. They're wounded with their past. They're wounded and weary of everyday trouble. They're wounded with addictions. They're wounded with people. Many are wounded with religion. Many are wounded with church. There's just a lot of wounded people out there. How do you break through? Well, you start with prayer, okay? But you got to break through those wounds. You got to help people that understand there's a healer in the house, okay? There's one that can take those hurts and those pains, and he's the only one that can heal you. It's not 12 steps of this or 5 steps of that. It's not because you went and got trained and you got the T-shirt. No, you've got to have a heart that says, I know that there are people hurting out there. And sometimes hurting people say hurting things. And there's a lot of words that are said from people who are hurting. Tearing down the wounds. Tearing down of works. Verse 43, she had spent all her living on the world, on doctors. This woman was hopeless and helpless. She had tried everything and every doctor, and she had spent all her resources on everything about what man could do. She was wounded and bleeding. Often we spend all that we have trying to do what God can only do. We will try our works and our wills and our plans to do only what God can do. We need to plow through all the works of man to get to God. We need to help people plow down works that have they have done to get to God. Our works will not work. Our works will not work. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a work of God. So how do you tear down? You got to help people understand that your works aren't going to get you to heaven, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that, hey, there are lost people out there who live better than a lot of us. They do. They're good, moral people. They don't cuss. They don't gossip. They're just good, wonderful people. But their works won't get them to heaven. For by grace you're saved through faith, not works. And then there's got to be a tearing down of walls. And boy, this is probably the biggest one. He says, and when the woman saw that she could not hide, she came trembling and falling down before him. All of us are guilty of building walls. I'm guilty. You know why we like building walls? To protect ourselves. We want to build those walls up because somehow we've been hurt, and these walls are very, very dangerous because they are walls of deception. They're walls of anger. These walls can be detrimental to you, and so you got to plow through that. You got to tear those walls down because those walls you think are protecting you are actually destroying you. God intended for you and I to need each other. Do I still have your attention? I'm almost done. This is going to move quickly. Here's the third one. You know what else you got to do? If you're going to help people get to Jesus, and boy, this is an important one. Of course it is. You got to plant. You got to plant. Now, these things I know are biblical. Back in Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 5, 6, 7, 8, all those verses talk about sowing the seed. And he says the seed is the word of God. And so we're gonna talk about this for a moment. Jesus is planting some seeds in verse 45. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude, they're crowding you, they're pressing you. How can you ask who touched me?" And Jesus knew this woman had touched him. He's asking, but do you not think he didn't know? Sure, he knew. He wanted her to know, and he wanted everybody there to know. I'll tell you, there's some power in this. He wanted to plant some seeds in the minds of the people to know. What seeds must we know to plant? I love this verse, Psalm 126, verse 6. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless again with rejoicing bringing his sheaves with him." Shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. All right, here's what we got to do. In order to plant, we got to help people understand the way of God, the way to God. That's sowing, okay? Let's just right beside that. The way to God, sowing. John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man," he said, "no man cometh to the Father but by me." We need to plant the truth of the way to God. And Satan is offended by this. He wants us to preach. He wants us to teach. He wants people to understand that there are many ways to God. Folks, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. A lot of folks think, well, if I do this and the works and if I get baptized, listen, the thief that died beside Jesus didn't have to get baptized, but he didn't have time to be baptized, but Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Baptism won't save you, but the way of God, the way to God, is the way of the cross. Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he said, "No man," no man means no man, no woman, no child can come to God but through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is only one way. And then the Word of God. We got to plant the Word of God. That's the seed. You see that in Luke 8, 11, the same chapter, verse 11. The seed, he said in verse 11, is the Word of God. Of course, you know this verse, and I love it, Isaiah 55, 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it." And then Romans 1, 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Folks, let me tell you something. There's power in the Word of God. Jesus said, "Virtue has gone out of me." Let me tell you something. He is the Word, and the Word brings life to people. All you got to do, you know what I do in witnessing? I just share the Word of God. I don't get it. This is me. I don't get into no theological discussion, and as many words that can come from these lips, I choose not to use my words. I really do use God's Word. Amen. You know how I witness to people? That's how I do it, everybody. Same principle. I tell them, you know the game of baseball. All right, you got four bases. If you don't touch every base, I will ask them this. What does the umpire say? You're out. Base number one, and here's how this is the plan of salvation God's given me to give to people. Realize you're a sinner. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You got to help a person realize they're a sinner. You got to help them get lost before they can get saved. So number one, base number one, and I always say this, most people I've talked to, oh, yeah, we've all stepped on base number one. We've all sinned, right? Okay. Base number two, and I usually do make a little bit of more explanation because this word can trip people up, repent. But I think it's a word that needs to be taught. So base number two, you got to turn, and that's what repentance means, to turn from your will and your way to God's will and God's way. And the Bible tells us to repent of our sins, and that's turning from our sin and turning to Christ. And then base number three, you receive. Salvation is a gift. You don't earn it, you don't work for it, you don't deserve it. And I give them that verse I just gave you, for by grace you say through faith and not yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. You received. You receive. Are you willing to receive Christ right now? I always love to talk about this. Well, guess who hit the home run? It was Jesus. He hit the ball out of the park. And the word is reconciliation. We are reconciled with a holy God through Jesus Christ. So I give them those four R's. And I've led many people to Christ, not because of my words. I just gave them the word of God. That's all I did. And by the way, you can do that in less than 2 minutes. Done that, been there. I've led people to Christ that I didn't talk to in 5 minutes. Just shared with them the Word of God. The Word of God will give them the life that they need, okay? We just got to give them the Word. And then the will of God. The will of God is salvation. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His Word or His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word. And here it is, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then I got to give you this word, power. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Here's the key. The Holy Spirit of God is the power, and He will get people to Jesus. Let me just teach you a few things about power. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceived, in verse 46, that virtue, that power, and the Greek word there is dunamis. I looked that word up, and it means power, ability, and supernatural work, means miracle. And so that's the first thing I want to give you about power. There was a supernatural power taking place that day. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with the master, the multitude, they've pressed you, they've crowded you, and you're asking who touched me? And Jesus says, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue, power is going out of me. The supernatural power went out of Jesus into her, but the power was not in the garment. Okay? The power was in the woman. You know how? He said, your faith has made you whole. It was her faith. She put her faith in Jesus Christ. Man, there are so many people get caught up in rituals and symbols and, oh, if I could just touch the garment. Now, that was what she thought in her brain. She was thinking, if I could just grab, and what a wonderful statement that is. If I could just come up behind him and just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. It was her faith. She had made a confession of faith. A supernatural power healed her. It was the power of God, yes. But the Bible says, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And then there's spirit power. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him and to all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Do you not think Jesus knew exactly who this one was? He wanted her to confess the supernatural work of God in her, the Spirit's work. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, listen, we're about to give an invitation, I want you to get this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's the power of God. And the Bible says no man can be saved unless the Spirit draws him. And so you can go to the Johnny Hunt rally and you can go for all the training you can get and get the t-shirt. But if the Holy Spirit of God don't deal with that person's heart, they're not going to get saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws people. We've got to be obedient. We've got to pray. We've got to plow. We've got to plant. But the power of God will come, and the power of God will fall on that person because we prayed for them, and we loved them, and we established a relationship with them, and we plowed through their hurts and their pains, and we planted the Word of God in their heart, and now the power of God is upon them, and thank God for His power, and His power is able to raise the dead. That's what Jesus was saying to this ruler of the synagogue. You see what this woman, you see what happened to that woman when she touched me, you wait till I touch your daughter. Amen. And Jesus touched her and raised her from the dead. I'm going to tell you something. Look up here, folks. the Spirit has not lost his power. I still believe. Someone asked me the other day, what do you think of the Holy Spirit? I love him. Oh, I would absolutely love it today if the Holy Spirit of God would just run up down these aisles and through every pews. Wouldn't that be, what you say, preacher, you're trying to get this church to be a Babacostal. Well, call it what you want to. I just believe we need the Holy Spirit. I can't preach without it. You can't live without it. I can't live without him. Thank God that he gave us the third person of the Trinity. And that same Spirit is what convicts the heart of a lost man of his need to know Christ. And then last but not least, there's saving power. And he said in verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now go in peace. Someone here today, and I'm done. Someone here today has got to get to Jesus. Someone here today, you need to plow through your pain and your hurts. You've been wounded by somebody. You're hurting. You've got all these thoughts that have been bombarding you. But look at that picture. That woman just believed, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that his power would fall upon me. Someone here today needs to press through the crowd to get to Jesus. Some way, somehow, you know you just got to get to Jesus. He's the only hope for your healing. There's no doctor, there's no medicine, there's no psychiatrist, there's no pope, there's no pastor, there's no preacher who can save your soul. There's only one who has saving power, and his name is Jesus. We got to get people to Jesus. He's the only hope they have. But all you got to do is just get them to Jesus. We're going to give the invitation now. God wants to do something in this church. Amen. All we got to do is get off our lazy back ends and help people get to Jesus. And we're asking for one. Let me ask you something. You're sitting in that pew this morning, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'm going to be transparent about what my thoughts are. I'm going to be very transparent. My thoughts are this. There's a reason this church has empty seats, because Jesus wants us to get people to him. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that, but that's what God spoke to my heart about today. There's a reason. So I see all these empty seats right here as the challenge, because people need to get to Jesus. Amen. I want you and I to take this serious, because I was the one that somebody prayed for. Hello? I was the one that somebody plowed through, because I had a lot of more hang-ups than you know that I had. Even as an 11-year-old boy, I felt very unloved. But there was a man by the name of John Douglas, an elderly man in my home church, that would call me every day. I'm telling this man, worried me sick. And he just kept plowing through and helping me. And thank God for John Douglas. He was my RA director. You know what that man would always, I remember him. He would say, when you preach, never tell people what you think. Preach the Bible says. Mr. Douglas would say, preach the Bible says. I've never forgot that, Eric. The Bible says. You know why? There's power in the Word of God. All we got to do is give people the Word. That's all we got to do. Plant the Word of God in their heart. So if you don't do nothing else, and I have a man that I'm very close to, he's not the smartest guy. He'll tell you he don't even really read. But he's one of the greatest soul winners I know. And all he does is quote John 3:16. And guess what? He's led, I don't know, a lot of people to Christ. He just gave them one verse. And he loved them enough. And by the way, again, you're one. And you're one somebody prayed for. You're one that somebody plowed through. Someone planted the seed of God's word. And you experienced the power of God. Don't you owe it? I feel like I do. I feel like this woman, Jesus wanted her to speak up. He wanted her to say, I've experienced the saving power of God in my life today. He healed her and he saved her. And by the way, if Jesus was concerned for one, shouldn't we be? He was concerned. A child died while he was taking care of one. But then Jesus went and took care of the child too. You ought to read the whole story. It's great. A song that God has used probably more than any song. I think of the Billy Graham Crusades. We're going to sing, "Just As I Am." Would you come to God just like you are today, broken? Because I know there are broken people here today. You've been wounded, but he can heal you, okay? This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She needed healing, and only Jesus could heal. Look, we've got to help you get to Jesus today. Maybe there's someone here today, and you don't know Christ. I will help you get to Jesus, okay? I will. But Jesus is the one that does the saving, not me, okay? Father, I just pray today that we'll help people get to Jesus right here in our midst, that no one will leave this church today not knowing you're Savior, because our job as a church, our purpose for being here is helping people get to Jesus. Yes, Lord, we went to the rally, we've been to the training, we got the T-shirt, but that don't mean nothing unless the Holy Spirit comes down upon us, that we will become doers and not just hearers. I pray today that someone who needs to get to Jesus will break through the crowd like this woman did. If there's someone in the pew before them or around them that they need to get through, I pray just like this woman. She pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus. I pray that people are pressed through today. Whatever it takes, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would do his office work of convicting and drawing people. May no one not be able to get to Jesus today. I pray that all of us would be willing to be used of you to touch someone today, to help them to get to Jesus. May we pray, may we plow, may we plant, that we might see the power of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand together. Just as I am.